Hey, you've reached the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Liz and Matt.
And it's Old Guy Friday. Greg Olsen is a Seahawk, and Jason Witten is threatening to keep playing.
We also discuss next week's Combine, which prospects have a chance to DK Metcalf their way into the hearts and minds of America.
Stephon Diggs and Derek Carr are out there on Instagram. What does it all mean?
That and more. Listen up, and I don't know, leave a message.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Liz and Matt and Brett, and we are here for more off-season hashtag content. Let's start with Greg Olsen, my old buddy from a yacht.
Only the spiciest storylines here on February, whatever the hell day this is.
Let's say 20th.
I think it is actually the 20th.
That is scientifically accurate.
Yeah, nice.
Boom. Greg Olsen, after visiting Buffalo, Washington, and Seattle, signs with the Seahawks. One-year deal, $7 million. Interesting part is that $5.5 million is guaranteed. That's enough money to keep him out of the booth and on the field. Matt, I got to ask your opinion about something. So obviously, you know that I love the big guy from Big Sky, Will Dissly.
Yep.
But Madden posted an animation of Greg Olsen, who wears number 88, in his new jersey, but the Seahawks version of which, fun fact, Will Dissly also wears number 88, fuels the fire of Will Dissly's stock tanking. Do you think the news that from Seattle that came out on Thursday saying that the team expects him to be ready, recovering obviously from that Achilles injury and subsequent surgery that he underwent in November, by September, do you think that that's just like perfectly planned to make Will Dissly feel better, or like nobody cares about Will Dissly and he's just going to be available in two tight end sets and maybe one of these guys stays healthy enough to be a contributor?
Probably no one cares about Will Dissly. Although I will say this.
Football Twitter does.
Well,
you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people care. I mean, I'm just saying, like, in the grand scheme of things, I bet you in 3 years from now, we don't care about Will Dissly.
Okay, but do you think when he saw that, that one of his buddies was like, yo, he stole your jersey already.
Yeah, yeah. Although, like, Greg Olsen wore 82 in Chicago. Maybe he goes back to the 82. You know, that was, I think, Luke Wilson's number with these.
Luke Wilson
with the Seahawks for a long time, but he's like on and off the roster now at this point. I think maybe Greg just switches to the old 82. I think Madden's just taking a little bit of liberty there with the 88.
Maybe.
I don't know.
So Greg Olsen did manage to stay healthy for, let's say, 13 and a half games.
A decent amount of games.
Right, like he played 14 games, got injured in one, and so he missed two. So 13 and a half, caught a little under four receptions per game. That's pretty decent given the, shall we call it, erratic quarterback play. Are you still buying him as a low-end tight end one, or do you think that Seattle's going to roll out so many two tight end sets that Dissly, theoretically, and Olsen will cannibalize each other? Listen, this is February 20th,
look,
Matt.
I'm not disagreeing
with you.
There is no offseason. But speaking of the offseason, I've got so much time on my hands that I wrote up a reaction piece to this particular signing. Because we talked about it on the podcast last week. I thought of the teams, this one made the most sense because they're actually a contender, the ones that he was visiting with.
Russell Wilson and the money. Come on.
Exactly. By the way, you were Russ and all those guys posting pictures together back at the Super Bowl. It all lines up now. But I think the quarterback position and the money, like, I think any of these teams were going to have to give him like $5 million guaranteed to stay out of the booth. Like, put that off for another year, maybe try to get a ring. So I found this stat from Sports Info Solutions. They deemed just 73% of Greg Olsen's 82 targets as, quote, catchable, which ranked 23rd out of 27 tight ends to draw 50-plus targets. Now, I remember telling you, you know, you talk about, like, feeding takeaways off of each other on the last podcast, and I remember back, like, somewhere in the regular season, Hayes, it feels like a long distant memory now at this point, but I think it was like the Packers-Panthers game where Greg Olsen just looked pretty pissed with Kyle Allen. Like, I think those targets were not very quality.
Well, didn't he yell at him?
Yeah, I think he's like straight up looked just like he's yelling at him, and that was a theme like throughout the early part of the season, and I think that just kind of goes to show, like, this, I don't think he really wanted to do, you know, the Josh Allen experience, God forbid, or the experience in Washington with another growing quarterback in Dwayne Haskins.
The rebuild.
So I actually think that Greg Olsen, like, we don't really know what he has left I think he still has enough to be like a valuable contributor. And look, like at an awful position, which is tight end in fantasy, like I think a low end tight end one is very within the range of outcomes. It's just not that exciting.
Yeah. I think ultimately when no one is talking about Ian Thomas, though, and that's like I would expect a Jonnu Smith-esque breakout from Ian Thomas. So you're going to hear, listen now, you're going to hear Will Dissly and Greg Olsen and potentially another player that we're going to talk about in a second's names being thrown out. But I think that Ian Thomas is going to be like one of those that I'm saying it now, like he might be one of those under the radar, low draft cost, end of the draft type of guys who manages to ROI.
Feels like the hype train could crank up on him at some point, but not to the point that, I mean, with these.
Not because they're going to like draft a hot receiver that we're going to talk about later and he's going to steal all of the narrative juice.
The Panthers? Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to draft a receiver.
Oh, they're going to get somebody.
I feel like that, I mean, it's just, I honestly now have like, I've, this is the first, the last couple weeks have been the first time I've really been like, I really don't think Cam Newton's playing quarterback for the Panthers anymore. Mm. Now I'm kind of moving off that stance, which I feel like I've held since October, that he would be back. It just seems like with the way the owner speaks, I don't, but who the hell knows? It's a tough situation to read because like you can't come out and say like, if he's healthy, he's our guy. And then be like, we want to trade him. Cause I don't know. Who knows? I'm not going to spend more time on the
Well, who knows where Jason Witten is going to land next year? That's the other aging tight end. He's only 3 years older than Greg Olsen. But man, whether it's the booth or the field, one of those blonde boys is having a better life than the other one. He says he wants to play. I mean, cool. I hear Buffalo and Washington are looking, probably the Giants too, because of his connection with Garrett. He can stay within the division. Listen, Brett wrote it on the damn outline. I'm mentioning it while we're talking about old tight ends.
Ew. Jason Witten, just go away, man. Like, I mean, if he's not going to play in Dallas, why would anybody else?
I'm surprised that he's not. But there's like the regime change probably really screwed him, right? Because he's like got to like make nice with McCarthy. But he was expecting, I imagine, like a coaching position on some level here.
Right.
Like you come back, like you blow it up in the booth. Tessitore and you don't make nothing but mayonnaise together. And now you got Dallas will help you wash away that narrative because you can come back and play and like have some abilities. He had some flashes, right?
He's not. And then complete dust.
And then he can be folded into the organization forever as a position coach and start his coaching career. So I think that
the former head coach was, except for the stint on Monday Night Football, was long on that path like 20 years
ago.
Boom,
right? So now he's got McCarthy and he's like, oh, I gotta love up another vanilla play caller. Fantastic. It just taken me however many 19 years to do the last one.
It just makes no sense for him to play anywhere else other than Dallas. Like if you're gonna either play in Dallas or retire, like don't go toil in New York for a year. Unless let's play freaking psychologist for a second.
I mean, unless Garrett is telling him somehow that he could be a position coach for the Giants. Like, we don't know where these alliances lie.
It's just strange. Like, I think Jason Witten really had like.
Oh, but Gettleman would totally love Jason Witten. Sorry, yes. I can't help myself.
Grit, like, of course. Yeah. Like, we've been spreading the field with all these young receivers way too much. Let's get two tight ends in there. Evan Engram, not even a grit guy anyways. So, like, whatever. But also, I think you want to play psychologist. I think Jason Witten is just, like, so shook from his one year away from football that he's like, I can't get away from football ever again because, like, I need to play until I collapse because, like, look what happened last time. I got cyberbullied into returning into the NFL.
That's why I think coaching is a good
I think
angle.
So too, but I mean, just if you, I feel like if he retired right now, Jerry'd be like, now listen, Mike, you're going to have to give this boy a spot on the coaching staff. And we had a great sleepover together. That's nice. but let's be clear about something. I still run the show here.
Do you think he puts M&Ms in his popcorn during sleepovers?
If he doesn't, he's an idiot. If you don't put M&Ms in your popcorn, you're an idiot. It's the best thing to do.
Peanut M&Ms.
Nah.
Asterisk.
Yeah, what? What do you give me that look for, Brett? Put peanuts in the M&Ms.
At the movie theater or like at home?
No, then, at home I don't
you
eat.
But then you get melted. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Melts certainly amongst hot popcorn. Then you're going to get the brown chocolate on your hand. Then you wipe your shirt or something like that.
Wait, you don't know how to use a napkin?
You don't wipe your hands on your shirt.
Are you six?
No, okay. I have beard scruff. You might understand this. Like, and then all of a sudden you get out of the movie and you have this big brown mark on yourself. Well, looks like something else. Maybe what you know?
You think people think you can shit yourself in the movie theater?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't
so
want
there's
to
a
walk
candy
out with
shell, a delicious manufactured candy shell around M&Ms that protect you from it looking like you have dookie on
I'm
your
hands. I'm just saying it's a really bad move. I would be afraid to have a move where I could potentially
get out of that
comfort
zone.
Yeah.
Get like chocolate stains on myself in the dark of a movie theater.
It's all good.
I'm trying
oh my
to
God.
Enjoy.
Let me explain a few things to you here. Number one, you think as a recovering fat kid, I can keep M&Ms in the house? No, if there's a bag of M&Ms in the house, I will be under a bridge with 30 bag of M&Ms by sunfall or whatever.
Sundown.
See? I'm already just thinking about the bags of M&Ms. Two. I've been doing this my entire life. Yeah, only at the movie theater. I've been doing this in my entire life. And yeah, I've yet to come out of a movie with chocolate on my shirt. You got to time it right. You can't put it in like – you can't get the get the popcorn and toss the M&Ms right in. You got to wait a little bit. Let it cool.
Wait.
Then you have a stale, cold popcorn?
No, Brett. Also,
like eating it from a bag? Like you get it at the supermarket?
Matt's personal experience is not right here, right? Like proficient. If you don't want to get – brown stuff on your hand, you just pop a bag of microwave popcorn at your house, you get the jumbo peanut M&Ms, and then when you open it when it's steaming, you put it in and you shake it together, and then you go watch some Bravo for a couple of hours. It's great.
Different experience.
And then
here.
You don't need to worry about anything on your hands, and you can wipe it on your shirt because no one's gonna it's fine. Just
I just
please
feel
try
like
it.
I feel like my experience at the movie theater is trying to minimize instances in which I'm getting condiments, things on myself in the dark and not noticing until the end of the movie.
You're eating in the dark, man. I mean, like, this is the dream.
It's the danger of it.
See, I love to play a little risk.
It's like living a horror
film.
Oh,
you like eating in the dark because, like, there's no shame.
There's
no one can see you pick out.
No one can see me.
I'm just a sloppy guy, I know that. And I know that I probably shouldn't be. So I'm trying to get out of instances, out of scenarios where I am putting myself in a position to get a bunch of chocolate all over myself.
Dude,
YOLO it.
Yeah. Who cares?
Sure. More life, baby.
Just wear a tarp over myself.
You could always bring a hoodie in. That way if you you could just put
disposable hoodie.
Again, use a napkin.
Great, there's always that. There's like, I don't know if you think, you know, you're not just gonna like have a river of chocolate, but whatever. We're all here.
So speaking of YOLO, Drew Brees, he is leaning into it. For everyone who very astutely, my God, round of applause, victory lap for everybody on football Twitter who said that Drew Brees was either going to re-sign or retire. Congratulations. What a wild take. He is re-signing with the New Orleans Saints.
The things that get on your radar always confuse me. Stuff like that. Like, but I think Breeze said that.
No, but everybody, the take masters who were like, I'm telling you, when this quarterback carousel stops, I don't know much, but I know that Drew Breeze is either going to A, retire, or B, re-sign with the Saints. Where else he going to go?
You follow some weird take masters.
No, that's not it. I'm with you on the M&Ms. So come at me right now. We just started.
Well, okay. I wish we had some M&Ms.
Anyway, I had a weekend. So it's going to be his 19th season in the league, his 15th with the Saints. I have to read the quote that he posted on his social media.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
We'll be talking social media later, but we've got to do this now.
Yes. He quote, look forward to the grind and the journey, for the reward at the end will be worth it. With 3 exclamation points. Love you, Hoodat Nation. Let's make another run at it. For the reward at the end will be... Who said... Is this the 1860s? Who says for the anything anymore? I'm props for using the comma correctly. And 3 exclamation points? Is there anything more antithetical than for the reward will be worth it? As if it's scripture, and then like 3 damn exclamation points. You're right. Some shit gets on my radar. This did.
Well, exclamation points in general, are there on my radar? I don't like exclamation points. People, it's like, ugh, just very off-putting to read anything that has an exclamation point in it.
Agreed.
I love
three
them.
Of them.
Three,
gosh.
I don't do.
Well, three is.
But I love exclamation
three
points.
Three is like if I ever type 2, like in a tweet or something, I'm being like intentionally disingenuous. That's just a giveaway. But
3 is parent or grandparent.
Three is,
like asking you a question. Like, what time are you coming over for Thanksgiving? 3 exclamation points.
But 3 exclamation points earnestly is amazing.
Yeah, right. Well, and you're right, though. Like, it's just... It's
for the reward at the end. will be worth it.
My favorite was people
at the top of the mountain. Ugh.
The photo, by the way, was at the top of a mountain. I don't know where. He was on vacation. It looked like somewhere. And like, he was on like, a cliff.
What's the meaning of this picture? Is this play going to fall off a cliff? Is this a hill like Taysom Hill? Like, I'm on top of the hill. Taysom Hill's been getting all this buzz.
There's water in the distance. Maybe you take a bridge over that water.
Oh, the water's fading. It's way in the distance because the water is going to be flowing somewhere else for $30 million.
At the Chargers, something like that.
Oh, God.
That was last week's podcast.
Right, yeah.
Some actual stats, just for what it's worth. In 2019, Drew Brees averaged 270 passing yards per game over 11 games and about 20 fantasy football points per game. It was QB5 for a number of fantasy football points per game. As much as we're saying he's declining, Matt, you and I wrote articles about this over a year ago.
Yep.
That's actually 270 is actually more yards per game than he managed in 2018 and exactly what he did in 2017. Though, of course, as you mentioned, he could be ceding some opportunities to Taysom Hill. So I don't think this changes anything.
Nope. All right. I think we're right where we expected to
Other than people's knowledge about Drew Brees' favorite punctuation.
Yeah, well, you're welcome for that.
Effective use of comma, poor use of exclamation points.
And weird sentence structure anyways.
Case closed. Yep. Adrian Peterson, Washington. Picked up AP's 2020 option.
This is going to
be his age 35 season. We know that Rivera likes a veteran presence, and he hates ping pong and foosball and all that fun. Last year, AP managed 898 yards and 5 touchdowns on 211 carries. He's the number 5 rusher on the all-time rushers list. Do you think, Matthew Harmon, that he will be... I can't even do it with a straight face. That he'll be able to eclipse Barry Sanders, who's at the 4 spot, and by doing so, will need to rush for 1,053
yards. 1,053
yards. 10-5-3.
I'll take the under on that. But I will. I mean, he's only back so he can, you know, get himself out of, like, what, crippling debt or whatever.
Yeah, there's that.
There's that. So good for. I saw some people be like, man, AP must really be playing for the love of the game. I don't think that's why he's still kicking it. Let's just be clear.
For the love of a roof. When you look at the, like, Washington's backfield, though, like, there are so many damn needs in Washington. Because I started to think, you know, as we're looking at rookies and stuff and free agency, every time there's a player, like a receiver, oh, they should go to Washington. A tight end, now that Jordan Reed has been released.
They should go to
Washington. There's a need there. A cornerback? They should go to Washington. An O-lineman? Oh, they like there's so many damn needs. I don't really know. Darius Geis coming off of another surgery. Bryce Love had another an additional ACL surgery, I want to say in October, and that was a kid out of Stanford who looked real good until he stayed for his senior year. Chris Thompson's still kicking around. Wendell Smallwood's still kicking around. But we know that those aren't really like, those are scat backs, right? So anybody's guess. AP shouldn't be able to do this. But we've been saying that for 2 years. And it's not like when you look at the number of needs Washington has, whether or not they'll be able to fill the hole at running back is a question mark. And whether the rest of the numerous but incapable and durability struck backs might not be able to pull it off for him.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I think this offense is a little bit interesting to see how it comes together, like you mentioned, because, you know, there's a decent amount of, like, youth here. Obviously, you know, we've got the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The receivers all, like, they had 3 rookies, like, contribute last year. Terry McLaurin, your boy Steven Sims popped up at towards the end of the season. Kelvin Quinoa Harmon made some plays here and there. He got some playing time here and there.
Those are all very similar. Like, then Chris Thompson's your slot receiver.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just like if you have – that could potentially be their 3 wide receiver set unless they add, like, a veteran or maybe another rookie in the draft. I don't know. I feel like you'd run it. If you got 3, like, somewhat to varying degrees promising rookies, you want to get a veteran presence in there or whatever. But Rivera wants a conservative offense. He's not about, like, a lot of
–
He definitely wants to run the ball and control the tempo with the defense and all that. And, like, they have a lot of problems in the secondary. They got a pretty decent front 7. Brandon Scherff is a free agent this year. He's one of their pretty good guards. Trent Williams, though, that there was a report that he might come back, that him and Rivera are sort of mending the fences.
It's thawing.
Thawing, so that's good. Also, I got a text from my dad today, just randomly, says some about Washington's quarterback. Somehow I stumbled across an online video of Washington quarterback talking about handling hit the money he received during his first year. I don't know beans about him. What an old man thing to say. Other than he played for Ohio State, but he impressed me as a well-adjusted, level-headed guy. Bought his mom a house, himself a car, worked with financial advisors, and invested 30% of his pay. He lives in an apartment for now. He realizes that football won't last forever. I hope it works out for him in D.C. And then Dwayne Haskins with a smiling emoji. Just this happened like 15 minutes before I got here for this podcast, and I thought that was fascinating.
Well, he's a kid who was originally from New Jersey and got plucked out into the incredibly prestigious and moneyed private Maryland school system. So I think he was mentored by who is the other Rutgers alum? Was it Mohamed Sanu? Mohamed Sanu, I think, was one of his.
Well, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, Mohamed Sanu.
I've thrown more passes than Taysom Hill, I've heard.
That was a big brain take.
Wow.
Good for Dwayne Haskins. You've impressed my father.
I mean, yeah, you've impressed Matt's dad, and maybe
I wish I could invest 30% of my pay.
I'm glad that you're reading some books about finance. Maybe the playbook next.
I didn't have the heart to text him back and be like, I don't know, Dad. I don't know about that one. That's a take, but whatever.
So, the Combine's coming up. We've referenced that a little bit next week. I believe it starts Sunday, February 24th. That is the day that everyone arrives in Indianapolis. They get their St. Elmo steakhouse on. They clear their sinuses with the shrimp cocktail. Things start to get lit. But really, nothing starts to happen until Wednesday. That's when the bench press begins.
Yeah, the bench press. How the f*** is it the Combine already?
Well, it's February 24th.
Well, yeah, but like, I feel like the Super Bowl just happened yesterday.
That's because we were in Miami for a month.
Yeah, for a month. That's true. But like, what? How did we get here? I'm like very taken aback. I'm not prepared for this at all. From what I understand, Liz, you have been just grinding that tape on these college players.
Dude, I mean, don't make your hand motion like that. It's gross.
It's cracking the pepper, you know?
Yeah. On top of my Caesar salad at St. Elmo Steakhouse. Can I go to
Are you going?
No.
Oh, okay.
They are going to send us Band of the Broken Toys to the, like,
I don't know. I don't know why anybody wants to go to the Combine.
I want to go to the Combine. Y'all can send me. I will talk.
Well, it'll be
I've
in L.A. Isn't it
going to
be in L.A., like, in the future? They'll send you up
like
the street.
That's like the theory. Oh, God. I kind of want to go to Indianapolis. I want to have some of this shrimp cocktail. I think it would be awesome because there are, like, it does sound like of all of the off-season tentpole NFL events, that the Combine is one in which the coaches are hanging out and everybody's just sort of chilling and you can walk into an elevator and be next to Sean McVay. And
I think you get the most access to NFL decision makers. And like,
everyone's
that
probably
would be cool.
Still got the Super Bowl hangover and they're like, how did we get here? How is it February? I thought I just bought my wife some roses. Like,
this is the Combine,
right? So I think they might be more willing to like open up and talk. And even if you aren't going to get any like tea, you know, that you can pour, you can also
just
get to know their personality. So like sometimes you read these quotes, right? And a quote that Mike Vrabel says has got to be different than a quote right from Marvin Lewis.
Funny you bring up Mike Vrabel. I was just going to share the story that I think it was 2 years ago, like right after he became the Titans head
coach.
One of our social media editors, like saw Mike Vrabel walking down the street drunk, smoking a cigarette. I mean, Vrabel ripping a heater in the middle of Indianapolis, and Kendall says to him, "Go Titans, go Titans!"
And he lifted his fist up in the air like Rocky.
Yeah, this giant behemoth of a man. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it, like you're saying, getting access to these guys.
Like that's, I just want to feel the vibe.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. The actual event of the Combine, sniz.
Chris Jones. So
hogs out, hogs out at Indy.
So next week. Actually, on Monday, that is next week, I have an article coming out of 5 of the buzziest names heading into the Combine. I actually did a bonus because this year is pretty rich for fantasy, players. There's a bunch of receivers. I have 3 receivers and 3 running backs, even though it said 5. The title has to be 5 because of something called SEO, but I bonused it with 6. Fine.
I've always heard that it's odd numbers are good.
Yeah, five. And then coming out of the combine, I'm going to write a piece with top 10 takeaways from the combine. But
top 10?
Yeah, I'm going to do 10 takeaways.
You better make it 11.
You better make it 11.
Why?
Odd numbers.
But 10 is different. That's a different top 10 list. That's
I have. I
well,
I'm,
maybe I'll bonus it to 11.
Yeah,
top 13. You,
top 13. I used to get
how about
in
9 because it's less work.
Nope, that looks cheap. You're gonna go top 15.
You get out of here. You write the last 5.
Let's call it an even 21. Blackjack. The draft's in
perfect.
Vegas, baby.
Oh wow.
Oh wow.
So yeah, we'll do that.
Seamless.
Oh, we'll do that. Will we? Yeah. We together. Okay.
I'm very hashtag busy though, so I can't. I got a lot of M&Ms to eat.
There are lots of buzzy names. Everyone knows about Jerry Jeudy. Even if you don't know about him, you know the name. Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, who's the really fast running back? Jonathan Taylor, right? Like, these are all names that are popping up. But I want from you, Matt, unless you didn't do the assignment.
Of course I did the assignment. Well, assignment.
The suggested assignment.
The suggestion by you.
I'm trying to add to the... One of us is on the email chain trying to collaborate.
I'm in. Okay. I did the
so
freaking
who's your under the who is the under the radar prospect that you are keeping an eye on for whatever reason?
Did you say under the radar? I didn't do under the radar.
Okay, so then who's the prospect that you're just interested in watching?
Well, I think the guy that I really want, number one, I really want to see Henry Ruggs from the Alabama receiver. He is, you know, supposed to be super fast. Mm-hmm. Look, like that, we know that will bump you up like everybody's intrigue list. But also, I have watched a little bit of him. Definitely impressive in terms of like his ability to change directions, snap at the top of routes, everything like that. I think he is more than a speed guy. And I just like if he goes out there and puts like it's unfortunate we never really got a time on Marquise Brown because we knew he was super fast. But like if Ruggs goes out and rips under like I saw a lot of draft guys I follow that when the lines came out that his like over under for his 40 is 4.38, they're like, oh, he's gonna go under that by a lot. So if he's running out like a low 4.3 or even a high 4.2, that's spicy.
Okay, I like that one. T. Higgins is another
good one. Good call. Yeah. Good call.
I like a receiver.
Okay,
it's Antonio Gandy Golden. Out of Liberty. You know, I like the diamonds in the rough.
Oh, Liberty.
Yeah.
Right down the street from Lynchburg.
Oh, that's right.
University
that's right.
of Lynchburg.
He's from Texas, I believe, originally. 6'4", 220 pounds. Love the catch radius. Hands are incredible. He's basically got a highlight reel of circus catches from 2019. The most exciting thing is that he improved considerably on focus drops from 2018. So you're seeing growth there in addition to just wild athleticism. He is... physical, yes. Obviously, like a perimeter deep threat sort of guy. But physical, yes, but also fast and strong. I mean, he will like swat at DBs and he will drag DBs. And so obviously, because he's coming out of Liberty, the number one knock against him is level of competition, right? Also, he was used primarily as a red zone threat. He didn't do much route running. He certainly did not get into the middle. So he has a pretty underwhelming route tree. It's a little bit sloppy. He's very agile, but he's not quick twitch. So I don't think he's not versatile enough to go outside and, you know, do the dirty stuff in the slot. But when I was watching him, he reminded me a lot. I wrote down Kenny Golladay immediately. And then I look back at my Miles Boykin notes.
Ooh.
Guy we both liked.
Nice.
Both those guys, size, speed, match. So I think he's very much like Kenny Golladay. And I think I would like to see him end up, and you don't think this is going to happen, but I would like to see him, especially if Cam were to come back, which you also don't think this is going to happen, to Carolina. Because now they could add some size. They have three speedy receivers that they have built for Cam.
Yeah.
And now they could have a size speed prospect. I also wonder, in addition to his route running, just as a side note, I could see him getting called for pushing off a lot. At the next level?
Grinding that tape.
It's all here.
Ground.
It's been ground. But I want to see what he does at the combine because when I'm matching his metrics, particularly to Boykin's last year, I think he could really, I mean, he's projected to go in the second or third. I think he could creep into the top of the second.
Nice. Oh, he's definitely, I mean, anybody that spends some time in Lynchburg is, now that's not a friend of mine, but yeah, I'm in. Another more like guy that's going to go in the first round that I really want to see how they work out is Justin Jefferson from LSU, because I think he can be one of these inside outside guys. I thought he, when we had the assignment a couple of weeks ago about pairing a rookie to a team, I thought Justin Jefferson would be a great fit for the Eagles because I think he's like a big immediate impact player. They don't really have a natural inside outside guy. They're probably going to cut Alshon. He's not the speed threat that the Eagles desperately need, but he does. Again, I think he shows a lot that would make him an instant impact type player. And I just want to see like him go out there, you know, put some like above average athleticism to what's already a pretty decent frame and ability to high point everything like that. So yeah, he's a guy I got my eye on too.
So three guys to keep, three receivers in particular to keep an eye on.
It's a big time receiver class. You see Mel Kiper said 30 receivers are going to go in the first three rounds, which is, by the way, mathematically, not, that's not going to happen. Wild, wild thing for Mel to say.
Interesting to see how these running backs are going to fall too.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the market that we've talked about before, because there are three really, really, maybe even four, really, I think in any other year, running backs that could have gone much sooner if the market weren't where it's at. But anyway, keep a lookout for those articles. And then I believe, Brett, are you doing a pod with Charles and Therese from Indianapolis?
I will be here in Los Angeles, but they are on Wednesday evening. That should
so the first, that's the bench press night for the receivers, tight ends, and running backs.
Yeah, I think it'll be just more thoughts from the whole week. We have this interesting CBA stuff that just came to light. I think the players are voting on it. So we're not going to really have lots of reaction from the actual workouts, but we will have some, just those guys are really connected. So they're going to be talking to a lot of league sources about what's going on, what teams are looking at. Probably the week after we'll have the full reaction of the workouts. It's going to be strange doing the workouts later in the week. They're doing them prime time this year. It's a bit of a weird year.
Yeah, they don't
the
really, the on-field workouts, like the 40 and stuff, don't start until Thursday. And that's for the receivers, running backs, and tight ends. And then I think the DBs or defensive linemen finish things up with the on-field workouts on Sunday. So it's a weird, like,
they're trying to kind of make the combine into the draft the way that the draft used to be, a Saturday and Sunday. It was in the morning.
It's like a Thursday, Friday, man, because everyone
wants
to.
They're making it Thursday, Friday prime time now. They're trying to make a TV show out of it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Interesting takes. All right. So it's that special time of the season where players are tweeting, gramming, talking, and peaching. That is a Brett special. We, the media, need to interpret what's going on for you, our loyal audience. So we'll start with item number one. Derek Carr Instagrammed a picture of him and former teammate Khalil Mack. Let me just say, Adam Rank, I love you. He was the first commenter on the post. Loyal Bears fan. Are we so desperate?
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Like, right? Are we, Liz?
No. You know what? No. And I like, the last thing I want is Derek Carr backing up Mitchell Trubisky. Or, like, great. You know what? 3D printers exist. Print one out. You already have one. Like, what are we doing? Sorry.
I was like, when I saw that too, like, I saw the Bears, like, SB Nation blog tweet out the screenshot of and be like, oh, very interesting. And I'm like, this is pathetic that you guys are excited about this.
No,
like,
one's excited about it, Matt. No one's excited about it.
Oh, not, I didn't say
you. Guys
you.
You're just trolling everybody.
Who's trolling?
Brett, with this damn picture.
Well, I suggested that this be something that we talk about. Like,
did you put this picture in here then?
No, no, no. But I just suggested this is something. Or did I suggest it? Or oh, you suggested it based on my tweet about
it. You tweeted the picture. Yes. And I was struggling February 20th. To remind everyone again, struggling to come up with some content for today. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just talk about what's going on social media.
I think we should point, not because of this, like, but because of all of these things are so funny to like pay, because people legitimately like have moments on the internet about this. And the second item we're going to talk about is even more so, but like, come on. Number one, the Bears, they're not going to get Derek Carr because it doesn't make any sense. Like, number one, you'd have to trade for him. What the hell are they going to trade? He has a big fat contract.
Khalil Mack.
Yeah. Sick. And like, like you can't put, but that's the thing. Like, I mean, I saw like Rank getting excited about it. Ugh. I saw some, I'm like, come on, guys. Like, that's pathetic. You gotta have higher standards.
All right.
This.
So what do you think about Stefon Diggs deleting everything Vikings related from his IG?
I think he does this on purpose. My theory is he
does. Emoji.
I think he does this on purpose. I mean, I talked to him in Miami, and a couple things there. Number one, I almost asked him, like, because he's just like a weird social media guy, right? Like, he tweets out these weird things that are like kind of, I don't know, like covert messages that probably don't mean anything. And I was going to ask him.
May I share, you're on the topic. I did peep his grid. How about that?
Nice.
And he had from the Millennial Therapist, which, by the way, is an account I definitely want to follow. When people form opinions who we are without our input, they are projecting who they need us to be so that they can avoid questioning who they are or what they believe. That was from January 16th of this
year. Damn. Sick.
So as we project on him, it's a reflection of our needs, hopes, desires, and lack is what I am taking away.
I think that, wow, that is like spot on. But like, I was going to ask him what... but it's so true. But that's so true. Like people that like want to people think try to make this a thing all the time. I was gonna ask him, like, his Instagram default picture has been like that Patrick staring down like excited meme for like 2 months now. Who cares? Like, it probably takes a lot of time to have somebody like scrub your Instagram, or if you scrub your own Instagram, that's gotta be a lot of work. But I think it probably means nothing.
Also, he's not a free agent until 2024. So if he is doing this, then he is definitely trying to purposeful, then he's either trolling or he's trying to create this buzz. Congratulations. You're doing it in order to create some sort of trade market for himself. Because contractually, I mean, if Minnesota cut him this year, they would take a cap hit of over $14 million.
Well, I think the thing that there's always trade rumors about him. So I think if he'd go anywhere, it would be in a trade. The Vikings would be as to your point, the Vikings would be stupid as hell to trade him. Number one, I think he's one of like the 12-ish best receivers in the NFL. He's the best receiver, best offensive player on his own team. They're also in a window, but I think there's my guess would be that there's just a little bit of frostiness between him and the quarterback, because like I think what he definitely doesn't care about, from our interview, like I don't think he cares about. I don't have this much production, this type of stuff. Like, I think it gets on his radar, as with any receiver, like that you're judged based on that when there's so much else you're doing on a route to route basis. I just think he probably doesn't get along with his quarterback. But I still don't think the Vikings are ever going to trade him. So like, what are we doing here? You know.
Item number three.
Oh,
Minaj of Boston. Group chat between Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and Tom Brady. Affleck and Damon were asked TB12, texted him, actually. Ben Affleck texted Tom Brady and said...
It's a group chat. Got the iMessage going.
Where are you going? But it was Ben Affleck who asked the question, though. He, like, initiated the question in the group chat.
I'm not sure. There was an interview with Affleck.
I watched it.
Oh, okay. No, he said me and Matt asked him. I don't know who asked the question.
Okay. There's a group chat between these three Boston bros. Either Matt,
what do you think they talk about in that group chat?
I don't know, apples. Ben or Matt asked Tom, "You coming back to the Patriots?" That was a horrible accent. And according to Ben Affleck, Tom Brady responded with the shrugging emoji.
Mm.
How do you like them apples?
Nice. A lot of good Goodwill Hunting refs here. I don't know. I mean, he's going to be back with the Patriots.
Who cares? I am more shook by Ben Affleck's face. I don't know what the hell happened to it. He was so hot.
You want to just say to him, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Ben, go back to whatever you did during the town. Just go back to that. Let me have that. Or you know what? You don't even need to be that perfect. Like I said earlier, go back to being out of breath and doing your own stunts in Daredevil, because you know, ladies like a little bit of a project. That's all
what
I'm going to say.
Look at,
or call either of your ex-Jennifers and ask who's doing their work, because those ladies look fantastic.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
She got that Capital One money.
What was one movie he was in recently? Oh, that was bad.
Batman?
Yeah, I liked him as like
old, sad
Batman.
Yeah.
That was a good look for him.
Because he's kind of like broken. Like there's just something like but be paunchy. You don't freeze your damn face, Ben. We don't want to see you young. He doesn't even look young. He looks like he's morphing into Robert De Niro without the acclaim.
Oh.
But I will take you. I'll fix you, Ben. Like, let's get into... No, because you got that other stuff going on. So, no. But, like, I don't know. I could imagine a world in which I, like, pick Ben Affleck up in the back of, like, a bench seat Oldsmobile. And we just, like, tear it up at the happy hour at the Lobster.
At the Lobster?
Yeah. Hmm. I like an ocean view and, you know, I'm not like a Hanano type of girl.
Fair enough.
Item number 4. LeBron James tweets disgust at the Astros sign-stealing situation with super useful hashtag, just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie regardless my own sport play.
I play, but close enough.
I did like that he said, I'm in sports.
I dabble.
Are we in sports?
Can we just like, I don't know. I think this Astros thing is kind of the... Here's something. We're talking about baseball, period. Also, comma, baseball before April. This is the best thing to happen to baseball. This is like when the T-Rex found that they had DNA in some amber somewhere and could be resurrected as a species. Be glad for the buzzers. Also, Astros, just go win.
I do feel like you had the Jurassic Park movie mixed up there. The T-Rexes didn't find their own.
Their lineage could be
you're essentially saying baseball
is a dinosaur.
Is a dead for millions of years dinosaur, and now they're roaming the streets of San Diego again.
And like you get a mosquito bite and they're back.
Mosquito bite cheating scandal, you know. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm with you on that. This is the first time baseball has taken up 0.5% of my brain.
0.5 is a lot for you.
That's a lot for
you're
baseball.
Not in carbonite anymore.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Like that's pretty good. So I agree. Like I even have like takes. Like it's like outrageous that you know.
Give me your take. Give me your baseball take.
I mean,
Matt
the thing
Harmon.
Is just like you got to suspend some of the players.
Sure.
Right. I don't know. That's what people.
I mean,
on Twitter
I just
say.
Feel like baseball's got all of these like. First of all, the Astros
notoriety
are now
problems.
The Astros are the Patriots, so congrats.
Our friend from work, John Nichols, Jethro Jenkins, says that the NBA is worse because the Warriors are not good this year. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but like, the NBA is worse because the Warriors are bad. Like, there's no villain.
Oh, I see. The Astros get to be that.
The Astros now get to be the villain that everybody hates.
That's a great point.
And like, so now I agree with you. Like
the Yankees used to be that.
Yeah. Right. But nobody can put that stuff anymore. I mean, I had to block the Yankees on. Every now and again, I'm reminded that I blocked the Yankees on Twitter like a few years ago because a certain coworker of mine back at the National Football League would share it all the time. And I'm like, I can't see Yankees on my timeline anymore. I blocked the whole baseball account for no reason. Now, baseball has a villain again, and I think that's good. Like, the NFL has, I feel like, several villains, so which is why people probably, you know, like the sport so much. It's good for baseball.
I agree. That's
Quick
where we started.
Question for you guys while it's still in the same month that the Super Bowl happened. Do you guys think that the Chiefs could become villains?
I think that is a great question. And, I mean, everybody, what's the line from... Is it Batman?
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. Right. I feel like there. Everybody at some point, if you're that successful that long, like people will eventually get tired of you. But like it's hard for me in this moment. I mean, I can't think back to like because I was like in elementary school, like when the Patriots became dominant, like when what we felt about like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at the time, but I feel like they weren't as likable as like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are right now, you know? I don't know. Plus they got to like, speaking of cheating scandals, they got to have some of that along the way. It feels unlikely that they become a villain, unless you're a Raiders, Broncos, or Chargers fan, then I think at some point you're going to get sick of those guys curb stomping you every year.
I think also they've lived in the, or Andy Reid in particular, has lived in the presence of being an underdog for so long. It's really hard to become. And yes, the Patriots, people like Patriots fans, New England fans will at me about saying like, well, you have no idea what came before all of the success, what came before like the early 2000s or even what, the late 90s, I guess. But and that's true. But Bill Belichick was never known to be like an affable walrus like human.
Right.
He just
right.
wants like, to eat a hamburger.
Yeah. Like, you're not getting quotes like that from Bill.
He's not wearing like he's the guy who fires people on Christmas Eve. Right. He's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt to media night.
By the way, Bill Belichick is a guy who resigned from being the Jets coach right before he became the Patriots coach on a frickin' napkin. Like not the most. Yeah. Not very affable. Not very likable already. So I think Andy Reid would have to. The only reason people don't like Andy Reid was they were Eagles fans in like the mid 2000s, and they were pissed that he never won him a Super Bowl.
I think we should end on napkin because that's coming full circle to you, especially Brett.
Good point.
You know, Bill Belichick hands the Jets a napkin, and we hand you both metaphorically and literally a napkin so that you can move out of your comfort zone.
Tuck it in my shirt. I go see the Sonic Hedgehog movie by myself.
Oh, you want to go together?
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay.
I heard it's really bad.
It made
more money than a horrible film, but still one that was quite popular, the Pokemon Detective movie.
Oh, uh-huh. I did see that.
I almost watched that on the airplane going to Miami, and I elected not to. Yeah. I elected to watch Lord of the Rings for probably the 30th time.
I sat behind you on the plane and I watched you watch Lord of the Rings, and it was quite an experience.
It is quite an experience.
And this has been a lovely experience. So we are out. You can join us next week for more fantasy foolishness. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at Liz Lowe's _FF. That is Matt Harmon _BYB. And we are goodbye.